focus is centralized in our central community. But I'll tell you, no matter where we are, no matter how broad the spectrum is, whether we're here or we're thinking about Nashville or we're thinking about worldwide, like an Acts 1-8 type focus, the only way that we're going to be able to engage the culture with the gospel is with the Father's love, right? The only way we can do it is with the Father's love. You know, love is the way that we'll be able to break through those walls and break down those barriers between us and the people that we come into contact with. You know, this week as I was praying and as we were seeking the Lord, you know, I was just praying that I could be able to see people through His eyes. You know, I think a lot of times in our lives, we see people for, you know, face value. Sometimes we may even see people for the way, for what they can do for us. But that's not a kingdom principle, right? The only way that we're going to be able to reach people, the only way we're going to be able to engage our culture with the gospel is to actually see people through God's eyes, that we could see and love them with His heart. You know, God's heart is pure, and He wants you to be blessed. You know, as a matter of fact, I would tell you that God is love. You know, God is the creator of all things, and He blessed us with the ability to love. I don't know about y'all, but I don't know what kind of fun this life would be if we didn't have anybody to love or if we didn't have anyone to love us. Could you imagine what that would be like? You know, God is love, and He gives us, He blesses us the ability to love and to be loved. The next thing that I would tell you is that we can only love because He first loved us. That is actually 1 John 4:19. That we can only love Him because He first loved us. You see, He created each and every one of us. And He did so because He wanted someone to love. But not only that, He wanted someone to love Him. Have you ever wondered in life why God gave us free will? Like, why did He let us just go on our way? Why did He let us choose to do what we want to do? He did that so that we would have the ability to choose Him. Amen. Right? He wants us to love Him back. And listen, the only reason we can love our children, fathers in the room, the only reason that we have love back from them, the only reason that we know love at all is because God created us to love.
Come on.
As a matter of fact, I would also submit to you this morning that our purpose in life are three things: to know God, to glorify God, and to enjoy Him forever.
Amen.
See, God created us to know Him, to glorify Him, and to enjoy Him forever. And I'm not saying just in this life, but I'm saying forever. In the morning, if you get here early, you may look on the screen, and that's actually what we stand for. What do we believe? What do we stand for at Page Heights? We're here so that people in our community, that we can engage the culture with the gospel, and that they can come to know God, that they can glorify God, and that they can enjoy Him forever.
Amen. Come on.
You know, we just learned the scripture that was on the screen, 1 John 4:19, that we can only love Him, that we can only love God because He first loved us. But the scripture right before that, it's not going to be on the screen. This is, that perfect love drives out fear. That is the scripture that's just before 4:19 listen, I love the two words on both bookends of that scripture, that perfect love drives out fear. Listen to this. There's a lot of things that keep us from engaging the culture with the gospel. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you that one of the main things is fear. That the reason that we're unable to reach people with the love of Jesus is because we are afraid of a lot of things, sometimes of what it may cost us, but a lot of times we're afraid of who they are, or what they stand for. And I'm here to tell you that we must love everyone. This won't be on the screen, but I would tell you that Jesus, in John 13, 34, and 35, he's talking to his disciples. He says, "A new command I give you, to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you must love one another. This is how they will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." He says the word love over and over again. And he's saying that's the key point, that we must love one another just as he has loved us. And according to 1 John in verse 4:18, he says that perfect love, if we're going to have perfect love, it will drive out fear.
Amen. Come on.
So let me tell you this morning, if we're going to engage the culture with the gospel, it doesn't matter what people look like. It doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter what kind of mess they live in. It doesn't matter if they're married, if they're single. It doesn't matter what their religion currently is. It doesn't matter what their sexuality. It doesn't matter what their political party is. Today, they need the love of our Heavenly Father.
Come on.
Come on. So if we are going to engage the culture with the gospel, we must understand that perfect love drives out fear. That if we're going to do what Jesus said and we're going to love, if we're going to love each other inside here, if we're going to love people outside of here, we're going to have to be effective in having perfect love. And perfect love says that, you know what? The fear has got to go. Fear is from the enemy. We must not worry about what it's going to cost us, that we must have perfect love. So this morning on Father's Day, it's appropriate that I would tell you that there's no more complete love than a parent's love. That's our one truth today. If you're taking notes, I would love for you to write that down, because that's a great lead-in to where we're going. But I want to tell you this morning that there is no more complete love than a parent's love. If you're a parent in this room, say amen.
Amen.
See, your children, and even my own parents, when I was a child, I can remember my mom telling me, "You'll never understand, but you'll understand when you're a parent. You'll never understand, but you will." There's no more complete love than a parent's love. And I tell you that your Heavenly Father is a perfect example. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," King James for you, "that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life." I don't know of a more complete love than that. That he would give his one and only Son, so your Heavenly Father would give Jesus for you and for me. As a matter of fact, that I would focus on the word "so," that "for God so loved the world." I love that in the King James Version in its original text, because that word "so," listen, let me ask you a question. Even if you're a child, you would write a letter and you would say in that card, "I love you so much." Right, that's a word that you would use. Well, how else would you describe that? Whenever you say that, it might be to your mother, it may be to your father, it may be to your children, but in that greeting card you would say, "I love you how much?" "So much. I love you so much." And this morning I want to tell you that there's no completer love than a parent's love, but there's no more perfect love than the love of your Heavenly Father.
Come on.
That he so loved you. "I love you so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we would believe in him," just like we celebrated in believer's baptism, "that when you believe in Jesus, that you will not perish but have everlasting life."
Amen. Come on.
That's good news this morning.
Yes.
That Jesus died for you. That God loves you so much that in his love letter that he wrote to you and to me, that he tells you that "I love you so much." This morning, if you brought your Bible, we're going to be in the parable this morning of the prodigal son. In your Bible, it might even be titled "The Lost Son." It's Luke 15, 11 to 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32.
Word.
Word.
Word. Word.
And I would also say that if you don't have a Bible, we would love to give you one. If you didn't bring your copy of the Word of God, there are pew Bibles. They're black in the seat back in front of you. But we're in Luke chapter 15, 11 to 32. And this is titled The Prodigal Son. It's titled The Lost Son. It's the parable of the lost son. It's titled in the CSB. If you would stand with me, I'm going to read this for us. 11 through 32. Jesus, he also said, a man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate coming to me. So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I'll get up and I'll go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and he threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, and a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and he is found. So they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he came near the house, and he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants, questioning what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him. And your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, and because he has came back safe and sound. Then he became angry and he didn't want to go in, so his father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I've been slaving for many years for you, and I have never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Son, he said to him, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated. What a fitting scripture for us to look at on Father's Day. As we said, that it's titled the Parable of the Prodigal Son. It's titled The Parable of the Lost Son. So we'll look at him first. The wayward son. He's the younger son, and at this time, in the context in which this is written, the younger son would get the lesser part of the estate. When the estate was sold, if the father was to pass away, the older son would get twice of the share. So actually, what he was saying is, Father, I would like my third. The older son would get two-thirds, and he would have gotten one-third. But the younger son, the wayward son, is which we're calling him this morning because we know the story. But he is younger, and he wants his way. Right? He's deciding that his way is not to be with the Father. His way is not to be there doing what the Father declares or asks him to do. He wants to go on his own way. And he wants his way, and he not only wants his way, but he wants it now. You know, it really hurts my heart to say it. But when he says that to his Father, when he says, Father, I want my share of what I have coming, what he might as well be saying to his Father is, I wish you were dead. Amen. I wish you weren't even here. I wish that you were gone so that I could have what I got coming. I could go and do what I want to do with what you have. It says, not a few days later, after the Father gives him what he asked for, that he gathers his thing and he goes far off. Not only does he leave his Father's home, but it tells us clearly that he doesn't stay close by. He doesn't stay near the Father. He leaves and he goes a long way off from where the Father is. He leaves and he can't even see the Father. He can't hear the Father's voice. He has no idea what the Father would want. And he says that he squanders everything foolishly, that every single thing that he took with him is gone, that he spent every quarter, every single penny that he had. And as a matter of fact, it tells us in the account that as Jesus tells the parable, he says that it's not much longer and all of or the city in the town that he lives in, the country that he's in, experiences a great famine. So he's down in his luck. He spent everything that he has. There's a famine. So he goes and he starts to work for a local man. And the man tells him, I don't have anything for you, but you can go out here and you can feed these pigs. As he's out there, his stomach's growling. He has nothing. He sees the pigs eating. And reality sets in. You know, I would call this the low of lows. He hits rock bottom. He's gotten away from where the Father is. He has all the things in life. And let me tell you, when we're far away from our Heavenly Father, we will hit rock bottom.
Amen.
Whenever we're away, when we can't see God, when we're away from the Father, we eventually will run dry. And that's where this man is. He's sitting there with the pigs and his stomach's growling. And I love to listen. The Word of God is perfect. And Jesus is telling this parable to people that are listening. And he's telling us as well that man, not only is he hungry, and not only is he with the pigs, not only is he away from his Father, not only has the way of life that's away from his Father driven to where he is, but there's no one to give him anything.
Yes. Come on.
Where are all the people when he spent all the money? Where are they? Right, I bet he had plenty of friends whenever he got there, and he had one third of his dad's estate, and he shows up and everybody in this party time. But look, whenever the famine hits and he's hit rock bottom, he can't even put food in his mouth and he's so hungry and he's sitting there and he's by himself. And let me tell you, where is Satan then? Right? Satan's telling him, you need what you deserve your part. You deserve to have it your way, and you deserve to have it now.
Amen.
But where is Satan then? Right? Whenever he is there and he's alone and he has nothing, according to the Scripture, there's no one to give him anything. That he's at his very lowest point. I love the fact that as he's there, as he is at his lowest point, he realizes that he is a sinner. I love the repentance in his heart. He realizes that point in time. And listen, if you get away from your Heavenly Father, if you go far from where he is, if you go on your way and you choose the world and you hit rock bottom, sometimes that's what it takes for you to get to that point.
Amen.
Yes.
He's there. And he's by himself. And he says, you know what? I've squandered it foolishly. I have sinned against my Father, and I've sinned against my Heavenly Father. He realizes that, and he says, you know what? What I need to do is I need to make it right. I've got to go, and I've got to find it. I've got to find my Father.
Come on.
in his heart. But the next, I want us to look at the Father. We're looking at the wayward son. And let me tell you that this parable is titled The Prodigal Son, and it's titled The Lost Son. But y'all, it's not even about the son. It's about the Father.
Amen. Come on.
It's about the Father. You know, the father tells him, he looks at him. You can imagine the overwhelming hurt that he had in his heart as his youngest boy stands there in front of him. And he says, I wish you were dead. I wish I could have what you have, but it doesn't include you. But an earthly father, as you think about that and you think about it in your own life, and the hurt that you would have as your child says that to you, you would be hurt so bad, I don't know that you would ever be able to forgive them. But I'm here to tell you this morning that your heavenly Father loves you with a perfect love.
Amen.
And let me tell you, when that man comes to his senses, when that young man, he comes home and he's headed that way and he's got a repentant heart. It says that while he was still a long way off, that his father saw him. And he was overwhelmed, not with anger, but with compassion. And in this day and time, with the things that they wore and the sandals on his feet, it was very abnormal for any man at all to run. But it says that that father saw him like he was standing at the mailbox and he was waiting every day for him to come home. And when he saw him, he knew. I'll tell you what, if you are a parent, you know that you can see the stride of your children. It doesn't matter, even if I couldn't see my daughter, if I couldn't see my son, if I saw them on the horizon, I would know it was them.
Amen.
And he sees him, and he knows it's him. And I love the scripture. It says that he runs to him. And he doesn't say, what's wrong with you? Or where have you been? He doesn't say any of those things. As a matter of fact, I would submit to you this morning that just about any earthly father would have been on the porch. He wouldn't have been running at him. He'd have been standing there with his arms crossed and probably said something like, I knew you'd be back. But this father, our Heavenly Father, is waiting every day. And when the Son comes back, he's not only standing there, he's running for him. And he's not got his arms crossed, but he's got his arms wide open. And he says, I am so glad that you're here. Says it is described him as being overwhelmed with compassion. Says he's filled with compassion. He runs and he throws his arms around his neck and he kisses his face. Verse 21 says, the son says, Father, I've sinned. I need you to forgive me. But I want you to know that this father, the story is not about the lost son. The story is not about the prodigal son. It's about the father. And listen, he runs to him and look what he does. He says, listen, that's all you have to say. All you had to say is that I realized that I was wrong and that you were right. And he immediately restores him. He restores him just as he was. Not a little bit. He doesn't say, hey, let's take it slow. He doesn't say any of those things. He said, tells his servants, he says, quick, go and bring out the best robe. Put it on his finger and sandals on his feet and slaughter the fattened calf, because it's time to celebrate with a feast, because the son of mine was dead, but now he's alive again.
Amen.
What a beautiful picture. That's why Jesus came. God, our Heavenly Father, he loves us so much. This story is about our Heavenly Father. And listen, he so loves us that he sent Jesus. And Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive.
Come on.
Lord.
And that's what this story is about. Jesus is talking about himself. that He is the reason. He is the answer. He is the robe of righteousness. Do you see it? The robe of righteousness that Jesus is telling the story, He's talking about Himself. He's saying that when you realize that you're wrong, when you realize that God is right, when you quit living so far away from Him and you come back to Him, He will run and He will greet you and He will cover you in the robe of Jesus.
Amen.
And the story continues with the older son. You know, there's a lot of things that have been said. There is a lot of preaching that has been done on the older son. In verse 25, it says that he comes in from the field and he comes near the house and he hears the music and the dancing, and he asks one of the servants in verse 26, what's going on? And he says that your brother is here, and you can almost hear the eye roll. Really? My brother's here? That's what's going on here? And he's killed the fattened calf because he's come back safe and sound. In verse 28, it says that the older brother has become angry and he didn't want to go in. And his father comes out and he pleads with him. And in 29, he says, he replies to his father, "Look, I have been slaving for all of these years for you, and I never disobeyed your orders, and you never gave me a goat. That you never did these things for me." You know, there's been preaching that would say, there's been preaching that would tell you that this is the people that belong to Jesus, that this is people that are upset when they see new believers come to Christ and they get all the attention. And there's preaching that has gone on that says that we must not worry about that, that we must be happy and joyful and rejoice when people come to know Jesus. And I would tell you that that's true, but that's not what this story is about. This story is not about either son. It's about the Father.
Amen. Come on.
Yes. Let's go back to the Father. You see, the reason that the older son is brought up and the reason that he declares these things is because it shows the Father's love. You see, the Father loved them both equally. The reason that the older brother is, it matters, and listen, it is awesome that older brother loves his father. It's awesome that older brother was able to be obedient. It's awesome that he was there and he served. And that's what he's saying, "Father, I have been here. I've done everything you've told me to do. I've obeyed you, and you never did these things for me." And the father replies to him, I love in verse 32. In verse 30, it says, "But when this son of yours came," he couldn't even call him his brother as he's talking about him. "When this son of yours came home, who has devoured your assets, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him." But in verse 31, "Son," he said to him, "you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But what we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost, but now he is found."
Amen. Come on.
You see, the fact that this older brother is angry over the things that he has done, it shows us a couple of different examples of the younger brother and the older brother, but what it really shows us is the Father's love.
Yes. Amen.
That He loved both of them equally. That no matter whether in our lives, whether we're here and listen, He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to stay. He wants us to come to church. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to serve others. He wants us to give. He wants us to do all those things. But y'all, He loves us whether we're here or whether we're there.
Yes.
He loves us with a perfect love. And sometimes even whenever we wander off, like we may be here, and y'all listen to me, no matter what we do on this side, it will never save you. The only thing that will save you is the blood of Jesus. Not by works, so that no one can boast. We are saved by grace through faith. And our Heavenly Father, He wants us to love Him, and He wants us to be obedient. But whenever we are on the other side, whenever we are living life, and we may go wayward, and we may wander, and listen, God, when You come back, He's not standing on the front porch like this. He's running for you in the street like this.
Come on.
He loves you with a perfect love. And He rejoices every time you return to Him. Whenever you're far away and you may be here and you know where this leads, when you're here and you're alone and there's no one around and the money's run out and the good times are over and you come to your senses, and whenever you turn, when you're headed the wrong way and you turn and you repent and you head back to Him, He will greet you every time with love.
Come on.
Amen. There is no more perfect love than a parent's love.
Amen.
Your Heavenly Father loves you this morning. So here's the choice. The choice this morning is, are you going to come home to your Father? Are you going to come home to your Father? This morning I would ask you that we have a choice. You know, there are people in this room, if you have never accepted the gift of Jesus in your life, that today when we stand and sing in a moment, Bob will be here, I will be here. If you have never said yes to Jesus, then you can come and you can say yes to the Father. And let me tell you, the enemy may tell you that you have no idea. You can't be saved. You can't be forgiven. Right? They don't know what you've done. And I'm here to tell you that there's nothing that you have done or anything that the enemy can hold against you that would keep the blood of Jesus from cleansing you.
That's right. Come on.
So it's a lie from the enemy. If you've never put your faith in Jesus and accepted the free gift of salvation today, you can settle it today. You can come home to your Heavenly Father today. And He will welcome you with open arms. This morning as we stand and we sing, if that is you this morning, I would ask you that you would come home to your Father, that you would grab me by the hand or you would grab Bob by the hand and you would say, I want to accept Jesus today. Saved person in the room, I would ask you if you haven't been baptized, if you've never joined the church, that you would come forward today. I would also ask, what part of your life are you wayward? This morning, you know, this story rings true because, listen, no matter who you are, right, you know, you can compare yourself to the older son or you can compare yourself to the younger son, but you might, in one way or another, you connect with both.
Amen.
So I would ask you this morning, during this invitation, as we stand and we sing, that you would go to your Heavenly Father, that you would lift up as you sing our invitation song, that you would be praying in your heart, Father, I'm wayward here. Please forgive me.